Okay, this is William Ramsey. Welcome to William Ramsey Investigates. On today's show, I'm going to do a show on a missing person from out of Nashville. He's actually from Missouri, was a college student from the University of Missouri, visiting Nashville with frat brothers who he got separated from last Friday. It's been a week. They haven't found his body. This is fits all the, you know, phenomenon of the smiley face killers, out with friends, act strange. People see him. He disappears off of CCTV. Then there's a huge search. It's in the media. Family's concerned, out of character, etc. This is a tall guy, 5'6", like 165, 175 pounds, skinny, tall. But I'll have some slides and some video. And I mean, you can watch this video. To me, he acts drugged, and you'll see it on here. But I've titled this episode, Riley Strain Missing in Nashville. Be on the lookout this weekend near the Cumberland River, because they haven't found him yet. But typically it happens on like another, so many other cases. But it'll be on the Monday morning. So I think it's a holiday this Monday. St. Patrick's Day is either on Sunday or Monday. But you want to look, if their cops are listening, police are listening, law enforcement, you want to be somewhere on that river on early Sunday or Monday morning or Tuesday morning, because that's where they show up. That's just like Dakota James or some of these other ones. But so many of these people have been kicked out of bars. Like, he was kicked out of Luke Bryan, who's a famous country singer, Luke Bryan Bar, one of his bars in Nashville, or a bar that he owns. And he's been in the social media. Like, this situation or the disappearance of Riley Strain is all over the media. It's actually international, strangely. Like, there's international interest. But let's watch some video here. I've got a ton of video that I'll comment on and some slides. But if you're watching this, you can see this on Rockfin or YouTube. This is only at 10 o'clock, too. It's kind of unusual. He's kind of an early straggler, but he's either drugged or drunk. I don't know how much he was drinking. If he's in a frat, he's probably used to alcohol. So this is a little strange. He looks totally wasted to me on something. Like, that is something different than alcohol, maybe. He's able to walk, but they need to find out this car right here. They need to see if anybody's trailing him. This would be the same, you know, cases, these early cases. Somebody's following somebody around. So that's one of the videos. But this is all over the news. Like, it's pretty incredible. But let's go through some slides. So he's from the University of Missouri, went missing downtown Nashville Friday. So it's last Friday. Today's the March 15th. 10 p.m., we have reached out to several local TV stations to help look, with no luck so far. A police report has been made. Any help would be, this is from social media. And he was dropped off, you will see in these slides, he dropped off the CCTV, right? So I just did the show about the death of Jorge Carreño in Oxford, killed by Fang Ji Wong, a.k.a. Scarlett Blake, in a classic SFK MO. I mean, the thing is, like, takes him out of the CCTV, so... is somebody waiting for this guy outside of CCTV, or waiting for anybody to come out of the city like that? He's just one being stalked. So this is from, it's all over the Metro Nashville PD. Continue to look for missing person Riley Strain, 22. Last week Friday, I kicked out of a bar, a Broadway bar. This is Zach Marr, Chris, out of, Minnesota, Minneapolis, Minnesota, one of the biggest cases, Chris Jenkins. Yeah, so, I mean, this is sad. I don't think they'll find him alive. But they have their surveillance video. Let me see if I can pull up some other video. Let's retrace his steps. So they had a...
This morning, billboards are now up in Nashville, spreading the word about missing college student Riley Strain. This one is located off I-24 near Trinity Lane, alerting drivers about the case. Now, Riley's family remains in Nashville this morning, hopeful to find any clues about where he went after he disappeared from downtown Nashville last Friday night. Blake Easton spent the morning retracing Riley Strain's known steps. He's joining us live now with an update on the case and the search. Blake.
Hey, good morning to you, Nikhil. It is certainly an all-hands-on-deck effort right now. We're talking billboards on the highway, boats in the water behind us, and you can actually hear Metro Police's helicopter actually flying above us right now, scanning.
So boats, helicopters, all out, billboards. This is the standard kind of response to these things. Families mystified.
Alongside the river, trying to find any possible clues to learn what happened to that college senior. And as you mentioned, this morning we had a chance to go location by location and retrace the steps that Riley could have possibly walked before he went missing in downtown Nashville.
The mysterious disappearance of 22-year-old Riley Strain began on Friday when he was reportedly kicked out of this bar right here. This is Luke Bryan's Broadway Bar. It sits at the corner of Broadway and 3rd. Now, the next possible sighting that we saw of Strain was just a few blocks from here on Church Street, which would suggest the most likely route he could have possibly taken was simply walking this way of 3rd Avenue. The next time we would see Riley would be from this surveillance video here at the Smoke and Vape Shop on Church Street. Now, this sits in between 2nd Avenue and 3rd Avenue. If you remember from that video, we would see Riley walk right down this sidewalk, trip over something, get back up before continuing down Church Street, making his way closer to the river. The next time we'd see Riley was crossing the crosswalk here at 1st Avenue from Church Street, walking on to North Gay Street. Now, if you see here, there's certainly a curve that he would have had to pass by, which goes along with what his parents told us was the last time his phone pinged was a few hundred yards north of here on Gay Street at the James Robertson Parkway Bridge.
Right, so the phone pings right where he goes missing too, which is very strange. Like, why didn't it ping off on the other side of the bridge? I'm not sure where he was headed, but it is suspicious.
And so, Nikhil, to refresh your memory, this is surveillance video that we saw there on 1st Avenue where he was crossing to Church Street, making his way towards North Gay Street. This was sent out from Metro Police. It was on Friday night around 10 o'clock or so. And that's the last that we have seen of Riley on surveillance video as of now. And so, as you can imagine, it continues to be an all-hands-on-deck effort. I mentioned the boats that we saw here in the Cumberland River. Metro Police's helicopter is still flying above us. But also, this is continuing to stretch miles, wanting to get as any information that they possibly can. Coming up here on News 2, we'll introduce you to the company that's responsible for blasting this information across billboards all across the city, free of charge, just to hopefully get some sort of clue as to where Riley could be. Reporting live in Nashville, Blake Easton.
And this is the kind of classic thing. Like, I have in my documentaries just so many news reports of these guys going missing. So this is Metro Nashville PD. Strain was last seen 9:52 Friday, Gay Street, after drinking downtown. Helicopter searched that area today, including Riverbank, right? And there's just tons of cops in the river to no avail. And you'll see that they actually got the sonar boats out. He's just not in the water yet, guys. I'm telling you. So tons of media. Like, I think this one was from some place. It was Luke's 32 Bridge Food and Drink. He was asked to leave, right? Chris Jenkins, Zach Marr. Zach Marr was probably, to me, my opinion, something suspicious about him because they wouldn't let him back in. He went out for a smoke. They said, you're not allowed to go back in. And then he met his demise in the St. Charles River. This is the Delta Chi Group. University of Missouri student Riley Strain was out with his fraternity brothers. That's dangerous. So there's a lot here. Let's see. 6'5", 160, skinny. Delta Chi Group was on its annual spring trip. It's actively involved. They kind of delayed in saying he was missing. It took him 16 hours, I think, is what it was, what they said, which is very unusual. Let's see. Student affairs with the family. I have video of the family too. Luke Bryan. So this is a popular country music star, Luke Bryan, praying for safe return of missing man seen at his bar in Nashville. March 13th. So that's 2 days ago. They need to be looking for him this weekend. Luke Bryan, like, huge, 9.1 million followers. Incredible. And then I'm going to go through this Metro Nashville police providing an update yesterday. And I'll pull that video up in a second. But I think it's really incredible because they just, you know, check all the boxes. Here's his family. Time is very frugal at this point. Riley Strain's father on continued search. That was yesterday. Just more news. News Nation. This is another one who disappeared recently. His name is Caleb Harris out of Corpus Christi. So Corpus Christi. So college students disappearing. Hasn't been found yet. Tons of water there. What do the police do in Corpus Christi? They check the water right away. Yeah, Candy says I've heard his bar is known for people being roofied. But that's a new thing in all these bars. And people need to be careful. I think that looking at him walking, he's not normal. He's not super drunk. If you're really super drunk, you can't even walk, but he's able to walk. So I think he was much more drugged than anything. So this is that's another body, South Dakota. Wyatt Rowland was discovered in South Dakota. This is fairly recent too. I don't know how they got mixed up in this whole thing. This is Jim Smith. So you can follow Jim Smith's reporting on this. He writes, this is drowning victims. I also can't help wonder, was a fake Uber driver the car that took Riley? His phone was obviously intentionally thrown into the river to set the excuse for the coming discovery of the deceased, right? Like the fact that his phone is found there, right where he kind of walks off with CCTV, it's very telling. Abducted missing college student Riley Strain was targeted and set up at Luke Bryan Bar. People who worked there involved released the CCTV videos immediately. Yeah, they should. Luke Bryan is really on board with the investigation. Should let those CCTV videos out, at least to the police or to the public. I can never forget Zach Marr. They're going to call this case suicide soon, too. Yeah, there's no suicidal ideation. It's a joke. Zach Marr was February 13th, 2016. Bell in Hand. Yeah, I have that in my, I think, my first documentary. That's a very famous case. Facebook. So there's a Facebook, kind of a lot of stuff on Facebook. Claims of detectives are reviewing surveillance video from downtown to try and see him leaving the bar. They have it. Police were called to the Temple Hotel, Rosa Parks Boulevard, for a report of a missing person. They told police the group last saw Riley around 10 p.m. That's right. Kicked out of Luke Bryan's bar, attempted to call Riley multiple times, kept getting his voicemail. Parents drove from Springfield, Missouri. Bolo was, yeah, they need to put a bolo to watch the river, right? Just like the child. That's how they broke the Atlanta child murder cases. They had cops by the bridges, wisely. So this is the route, if you're watching this on video, of where Riley walked. He fits the profile, skinny guy, right? Profile of the victim, college victim. But you see here, walked north to the Woodland Street Bridge or something like that. I'm not very familiar with Nashville. But this is Kelly Avellino. I think she's a reporter in Nashville. But he's able to walk. That's kind of telling. Like, he's walking in some direction. I don't know where their hotel is. I guess I have to find out where the 127 Rosa to the Temple Hotel is. But that'll require some additional research. There we go. So you see Ryan leaves bar 9:40 p.m. Riley on escape game cam 9:43. Riley falls on video 9:45. Riley crossing near First Street. Last cell ping 9:58. Last video of Riley is right near the river edge. And so then you have the boats here. Like, this is something I took off Fox Nashville. The sonar boats. Searching the riverbank. That was Wednesday. They deployed two boats. So then there's the picture of him on the billboard. This is another UTD found dead this month. Under a gorge or something. And these are the three guys who've died in Corpus Christi within the last year. Bradley Brooks, Albert Garcia, Joe Gutierrez. These are police pictures of them searching underneath the bridge where he was last seen. Like, they're looking around. There's the cops. Retracing his steps. Crews are searching for Riley Strain along the Cumberland Riverbank near Public Square Park. And this is independent, right? So this is UK. Riley Strain, latest updates. Search continues for missing Missouri student who was kicked out of Nashville bar. Why was he kicked out? These guys could be held liable, like kicking somebody out into like dangers out there. That's could be some kind of causative issue. This is definitely the worst nightmare, Mr. Strange's stepfather, Chris Whitefield, told Fox News. Riley talks to us, whether it's me or to his mom. He talks to his mom 3 or 4 times a day. For him to go this long without talking is not normal by any means, right? So there's no normality. This was another case in Nashville at a 2021. His name was Dakota Bingham, found dead on the bank of Cumberland River. I think that he was at a bar or something. He's found 10 miles away from where he was supposed to be. And then this is Caleb Harris. This is out of Corpus Christi, March 6th. So he's been missing. I don't think they found his body yet. Disappeared on the early morning hours of March 4th. Walked his dog at 3 a.m. Said his son's phone has been dead since then. Harris has no shoes, no wallet. His truck was locked. His keys are in the house. So those are the slides that I had. Let me go back and let's see some more video. Let's see, present video file.
48 hours since you and I last talked. Any updates from the investigation you're able to share with us?
Still pretty few. I mean, not quite moving as fast as what we'd hoped. We still don't have the watch data. We do know from our meeting yesterday that they have seen the footage inside and outside of Luke Bryant's bar now, which made us feel a little better. Ryan can tell you exactly the footage we're needing now. We're still trying to get camera footage off of buildings that are where we have the last known video of.
Yeah.
So we need that kind of help immediately.
Let's talk about some of that footage. You know, we got our hands on that footage, I mean, just hours after we talked to you a couple days ago.
Here he is flopping and getting back up. I mean, this is crazy. You should have police down there just minding people.
Our hands on that footage, I mean, just hours after we talked to you a couple days ago, showing Riley walking downtown. You know, there's one part in the video where he stumbles. I'm sure you've watched all of this by now. Yeah, there he is right here highlighted. What do you make of this video? And did you or police pick up on anything else that was odd from any of this surveillance?
Yeah, the first two videos in the timeline are extremely odd to us. We're really wondering why somebody didn't help, why somebody didn't call the police, make a 911 call saying, hey, there's a student or an individual that is in need, you know? We need everybody's help.
Yeah.
If you've seen him, please help us.
Yeah. Please call.
To just go off that point you just made, my own mother is now following this story intently. I mean, she wants to know what has happened to your son. My mom was also wondering, do you want that bar to be liable? We know that Riley was asked to leave because he had been overserved. I mean, do you want that bar to be held responsible at all for not making sure that Riley, I don't know, got in an Uber or was in the right hands once he left their premises?
Feel like there needs to be some accountability put somewhere. This stuff shouldn't be going on, putting people out if they're in that kind of condition. There needs to be some accountability. But right now we're staying focused on the direction we need to go with the investigation. We feel like time is very critical at this point, and there's camera footage that needs to be reviewed that seems to be going slower than what we want it to go. Mm-hmm. We're in several days and we're not getting about where his last known location was.
Michelle, you know, at one point you see Riley in one of these videos, you see Riley stopping, almost unsure of where to go. Reports say Riley told his friends he was walking back to the hotel. Based on what you've seen from that footage, was he even going in the right direction back to where they were staying?
He is not. It looks like he's turned around and confused. as to where he is. I mean, he's in a strange town. It's hard for a mom to see, and it's hard for me to see all these people around him and not helping him.
Any idea if he hopped in an Uber? Have you checked his Uber history? Is he the type of young man to get in a car with somebody he didn't know?
There's not anything to indicate that he grabbed an Uber. It wouldn't be like him to jump in a car with anybody else. But it's not like him to go in the direction of the area that he was last seen either. So there's still a lot of questions that we're very trying to be patient, waiting on answers on.
Absolutely. I also know we mentioned that candlelight vigil was held for Riley last night. How has the outpouring of support helped you through this process as a family?
I feel like it's what's getting us through. We have a lot of people. We feel everybody's prayers. Please continue. Please continue to share his story.
It really has been amazing, the outpouring that we've received, not only from our hometown community, but from people all over the United States. It's almost mind-blowing. What we're seeing, what we're hearing from people, what they're offering to do to help us.
Thanks for watching, everybody. Go to joinnn.com.
So that was it. That's almost just like the Zach Marr. I have a couple videos of Zach Marr like that are just like that. So now I'm going to go to the Nashville PD. This is from yesterday. So
are you all ready?
And I'll just analyze this. It also shows that they're going to look in these areas, right? They're already looking. This will be the same as the standard SFK MO, where they're looked and then all of a sudden the body will pop up. And everybody's probably looking. I bet there's a lot of people in the city themselves are just kind of looking around the family, things like that. But they're doing their job. They're doing a thorough kind of check for where he should be. Any downriver or something like that. If he's found upriver, obviously something bad has happened. But they'll just chalk it up to an accident or oversight or poor stuff, but they're using sonar, so let's listen. I'll comment.
This gentleman just took off for some reason.
Okay, we'll give him a second.
Okay.
Is that him with a striped shirt?
Yeah. I'm assuming he'll be back with okay. All right. Thank you.
Sure.
Yes, sir.
That's when does it start?
I've seen today.
There we go.
Okay. Sir, are you okay there? All right. So as you have seen today, the police department's urban search and rescue team, a highly trained group of individuals, have been searching the riverbank and the river itself using a sonar-equipped boat. Thus far, we've found no sign of our missing person. Sergeant Bob Nielsen is a supervisor for our homicide cold case unit. That unit is responsible for investigating missing persons. And Sergeant Nielsen is going to go over with you now where the investigation stands at this point. Sergeant Nielsen.
As Don has already mentioned, we've been out here with our urban search and rescue people today. We've also utilized my cold case detectives on foot, traveling through the area. We've also used aviation, as well as our police boat, which, as he mentioned, has sonar. In the past couple of days, we've also involved the Office of Emergency Management. They have a boat with sonar, and they also have a drone. We've had their drone operator come out here. And we've also been utilizing our downtown partnership people and just trying to make any contacts of some of the citizens walking through here, including people that live in nearby homeless camps, and have been re-canvassing for video and reaching out to some of the bars and businesses down here, which I'd like to point out that they've all been extremely cooperative with us, and I'm open to any questions you have.
The phone, when it went down, is there any tracing of the phone?
So the last thing we had on the phone information was all of the pings that they did were based on exigency, so we were able to get that. Apple has been very helpful with us. We're still waiting on some phone record information. We're still waiting on that data. However, The last ping that they had was off a cell tower near Top Golf, which is on the other side of the river. However, the radius is about 2 miles, so it doesn't give us a direction to travel or more detailed information. We just know that that's the tower that it hit off of. We're still waiting on the phone records. We don't have the information quite back on the Apple Watch. I didn't know this. I'm not an Apple person, but apparently it has its own separate phone number. So that's one of the things that we're also waiting on is data from that as well. It doesn't tell us.
So he had an Apple Watch and an Apple phone that pinged and then and went dead when he disappeared, which is telling, right? So it's like if he fell in the water or left his phone, his phone would be pinging beyond that time, 10 p.m., right?
That's exactly why they went down. There could be a variable number of reasons of why both of those went down from we don't know how long he had them charged to, you know, turned them off. I mean, any number of things. But the data right now, the rest of it, his phone records and so forth, we're still waiting on. We know that the last ping off that tower was between 9:55 p.m. and 10 p.m. And I believe the last phone conversation or attempted conversation by one of his friends was also during that same time. That was the last time anybody had any kind of interaction with him on the phone.
Can we talk about our cameras, Bob, what we know from the cameras?
Thank you. With the camera footage that we have right now, the last known footage we have of Mr. Strain was coming in this direction, which would be towards us in the northerly direction. It caught him between the James Robertson Bridge and Woodland Street Bridge traveling this way. He was on foot. There was nobody else around him that we can see. We do have some cameras on the back of our Birch Building, which is our courthouse here. However,
they need to check all the cars in the area, not just people, but get the license plate. Who was trolling around in Nashville downtown at that time? That's what they really should do. See if anybody followed his route, if that's plausible or possible, through the CCTV video that they have.
It doesn't catch him crossing the path of that, and they would have caught anybody on either side of the Gay Street connector. So at this point, we're kind of back canvassing, if you will, going back possible route he may have taken from Broadway up 3rd, down towards Church Street, down in this direction, to look for any other cameras we may have missed, as well as look for any other potential employees at some of these businesses that we can talk to that may not have been here the past few days, but might have been here Friday night. So we're still going back and looking for more cameras and more witnesses.
You're with the homicide unit, so there's really no way to tell whether the end of this story will be an accident or a criminal situation right now. You can't tell that, right?
No. There's no, absolutely no indication whatsoever there's any kind of foul play or other crime involved. This is strictly a missing person investigation at this point. Obviously, those things can always change. We just don't know. But right now, all of our resources are dedicated towards finding him. We're not conducting a criminal investigation of any type. So we're utilizing all of our detectives and our other resources, as we mentioned, in just looking for him. Because like I said, there's no indication he was in a fight or argument with anybody on the street, as far as we know right now, or anybody in any establishment he may have visited. So we're just solely looking at this as a missing person case.
Is there a way to trace Ubers, Lyfts, those kinds of things, taxis?
Yeah, the question is there a way to trace Ubers, Lyft, taxis? Good question. Really good question.
So we don't believe, based on the information we have so far from financial institution, that he utilized any kind of ride share. However, I know that
But it's the idea of the rideshare employee as perp, right?
Family or someone has reached out asking if they may have caught him on video, because as we all know, a lot of your rideshare partners will have dash cams. And so people have reached out to them. Hey, if you see anything, can you send it to us, send it to the police department? But we have not seen any evidence that he would have used that. All the footage that we have so far, he was walking. So there's no indication that he got into a vehicle, whether a cab or a rideshare. And then, of course, until we get his phone records back, we can't see if he utilized any one of those types of applications as well.
There was a body cam of an officer dealing with another situation that officer came across Riley at one point. Do you have an update on that?
I don't. There was no real interaction between the two of them because that officer was dealing with that other situation.
Good.
Any other questions?
Yeah. Would you mind just going back over what you did?
Oh, yeah. So I was just telling them that basically we've been utilizing our urban search and rescue people as well as our police boat. They've gone up and down the bank. They've made multiple sweeps. Urban search and rescue has checked several areas, including any dilapidated buildings, as well as there's a storm drain that people will use sometimes. So they've been doing that, as well as we've had our cold case detectives actually walking the greenway all the way up towards Jefferson Street, because there's a lot of residential new buildings up there that you can't get to by vehicle. You can get to the buildings, but you can't get behind them. So we're trying to utilize everybody on foot, on boat. We've utilized aviation. Office of Emergency Management has come out the past couple of days, couple of times, both with boat, with sonar, as well as with their drone. And then also, I don't know if many of you are familiar with the Cajun Navy, United Cajun Navy. There's a couple different organizations from Louisiana, but they also have members in other states, including Tennessee. They've also come up here to assist us with an airboat and some of their resources from private organizations to also assist in the search.
So there's just a huge amount of resources looking for this guy. This is for people who are listening to this now. I got a ton of people listening to this live stream who haven't heard my other work. I've worked on this stuff for 8 years, going back to Joey LeBute was my first case in Columbus, Ohio. He was found 19 days later in a place previously searched, Scioto River, right? So I've sadly watched this process of disappearance to police investigation to finding the body, oftentimes with a not a conclusion of murder or malfeasance or misadventure, but accidental drowning. And sadly, I think this will probably turn up like all the other cases I've seen. You know, I probably followed 30 cases. I think Jim Smith has followed like 50 and predicted 50 in the water. So he knows, you know, much more than I do, which is why he was the primary researcher on my first documentary that I put out. I think it was released in 2017, second documentary 2020. And I just put out a 400-page research book in October of last of 2023. So you can see that. I'll put links to all that stuff in the show notes. But this case has, for some reason, there's been other cases. This one case has so much interest. It's much different than these other ones, like international interest. It's very strange and curious. And it's something new that I haven't noticed before. Like there's 543 people listening to the stream right now that I just put out, you know, I just decided to do this morning. I didn't really publish, you know, advertise it or put it out on my social media. And so I do recommend also, I mentioned Jim Smith. I recommend you check out he posts a lot on X, Twitter, and so many other cases, so much more information. You know, I'm kind of all over the place in kind of my journalistic endeavors, but Jim, really, that's kind of his real focus. So check that out. I'll put links to that as well. But this is part of this long process of this particular crime that I've followed. It's called the Smiley Face Killers, SFK, shortened. So you can hashtag SFK on Twitter and see all the cases or Jim Smith has done there. So that's one way to look at this. It got its name from the original two guys who wrote Case Studies in Forensic Drownings, Gannon and Gilbertson, who noticed something that sometimes there's graffiti and a spray paint of a smiley face associated where they think the body's put into the river after they disappeared, not where the crime took place or the abduction took place. And I did, there's like hundreds of cases, and I covered 300. I don't think I covered all the cases, but I tried to put as many into this book as possible, which is 370 cases that I counted. And they just had a break in this. I think really one of the most important convictions in this phenomenon is this man in Oxford, UK. His name, real name, his given name is Fang Shi Wang, or W-A-N-G. But his trans name was Scarlet Blake. And he fits all the profile, checks all the boxes, what I said in the title of my discussion on him. He checks all the boxes of what I thought possibly offender profile would be. And some of the offender profile, like we speculated over, I mean, this is speculation over years, but deduce that maybe some of these men are kind of, their suspicions are allayed by these people, like a woman. But if it's a transgender who's dressed like a woman, maybe these men in an altered state or drunk would think that it's a woman. So look up this guy. Thanks, you win. It's all over the social media in the UK. It didn't kind of come to the United States. I've tried to promote it as much as possible, that story. It's a very important story because this man who became a woman, a transgender, male to female, so-called, still has his genitals, came out of the Tavistock Gender Clinic, a kind of a notorious gender clinic, and had took puberty blockers from an early age. Feng Ji Wang is now 26, but it's been a lot of heat on, like, really kind of like a feverish interplay on the social media because J.K. Rowling, right, the noted author of the Harry Potter series, has been very forceful, or very comments a lot on these cases, because in the UK, when they reported this case of this kind of smiley face killer case about Scarlett Blake, they kept calling him a woman. They didn't define it right. He's clearly not a woman. He's not a woman. He's a man who wanted to go through the process to become a woman. And that's the way it should be described. So I'm trying to give this background for people who are new to kind of the stuff that I've done. And I've done so many. Thanks, Kelly Jean, says her work on SFK is extensive. Thank you. I've done a lot of interviews and a lot of cases. I've tried to put out as much material that people can reference. So you can go see, I think, my first documentary that I put out in 2017 is available on Amazon or Vimeo. And you can watch them if you go to my Patreon. I'll put a link to my Patreon. You can watch my two documentaries on the SFK phenomenon, which looks a lot like this. You can watch it just for paying $5. You can watch it at your leisure. Wild Aussie woman says, that man, William, talking about, I agree with J.K. Rowling. That is not a woman crime. Yeah. And it's a larger part of a larger problem of miscategorization and all that stuff. Such BS. That's exactly what J.K. Rowling said. I'm so sick of it. Me too. And it's really sloppy journalism. It's really embarrassing. And it's also, I think the journalists are, there's a chilling effect because they don't want to be called a transphobe or be called names. And so maybe that's part of it. It's like their careers are at risk. Like, I'm just going to say he's a woman and his name's Scarlett Blake. Well, that's not his name. That's a persona, right? And that's the interesting thing, is that, and the police need to understand that these guys have online personas. They catch somebody in this crime, they need to check out their social media, their real background, and ask questions about that, about them and what their background is, which they didn't go. They had some stuff on the Feng Shi Wong case, Oxford case, some social media stuff, but not a lot of it. Not enough as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, let's go back to this.
For Riley.
Is there anything unprecedented about what's going on, or is this just a natural course of things that you do this
investigation? It's just a natural progression. You know, with a missing persons case, people go missing for various reasons. Some are voluntary, some are not. Some could be due to a medical incident. Right now, we have no idea what happened with this gentleman. We don't believe that there's any crime involved, however. So all of our resources right now are dedicated towards locating him. And then once we find him, to try to see if there's any kind of, you know, medical attention, something that he may need. And obviously we're looking for a positive outcome. And so, but we're open to all the information that we get. We're still utilizing our Crime Stoppers. A lot of people think that that's just for crimes, you know, homicides, robberies, so forth. But we've also utilized that for people calling in. And I've been getting Crime Stoppers tips every single day regarding possible sightings or any information that people think that they have. I mean, you name it, people call us, we're checking it out. We've also provided our information so they can contact us, either me directly by email, my lead detective, or our public information office, our social media, you know, Facebook, Instagram, all that. So we're utilizing absolutely every resource we can possibly think of at this point. There's no reason to believe that he's been a victim of a crime, and I can't possibly think of any other resource we could utilize that we haven't.
It is interesting he says that. It's suspicious that they haven't found a body in a week, right? That he should have been found. Bodies float, I think, after 3 or 4 days. It's just in that part of decomposition. So to say that there's no evidence of crime, where's his body? Do you fall in the water? I mean, what's going on? So I'm not sure I agree with that.
Used or are using right now.
Have they been notified to look as well? I mean, is there...
Yeah, he's been entered into NCIC, which is very common. So when we do a missing person report, when that's entered into NCIC, and as we bolo that information, we push it out to some of our partner, like, you know, Sumner County, Cheatham County, you know, THP and so forth, they usually get that information. Our fusion centers tend to push a lot of that information out as well. So that information has pretty much been disseminated. Yes, ma'am. That's true. So actually back in this direction, this first bridge is James Robertson Parkway. The next bridge is Woodland Street. He was last seen between those two bridges traveling in this direction. And that's the last footage that we have. I think that was around 952, 953, somewhere in that range. There's actually a large homeless encampment that's down the riverbank. And we actually made contact with some of those people today. Our urban search and rescue people talked to them. They even let us search that area, you know, because that's treated like a domicile where some of them are. So they've been very helpful as well. And so we're just utilizing everybody we can talk to in this area. But that's the last known area. So what they told you is accurate. They just didn't know that the homeless encampment was down there.
Yeah, so at that point, we don't know if we went down or got hit. We don't know anything. I think it's off.
Correct, and as I mentioned to them, there are cameras on the back of the Birch Building, but they would have caught anybody on either side of the street, but there's nothing to indicate he came this way. So we also utilize the camera. There's a pole camera right there as well, and it doesn't show him in this direction. So in the event that he could have...
Right, so he dropped off the camera, right? That's what he's saying. So he was traveling north. He's this police officer is north of these two bridges, right? Maybe I can go back to the slides to show you exactly where this guy is sitting. Let's see the map. Here's the map. So this is the map. If you see on the very top, you see the Woodland Street Bridge. This officer is standing in this map. If you see this, if you're watching this on Rockfin or YouTube, the police officer is standing at Park, right? Where it says Park at the very top of this slide. And then he just said, there was a pole video where Riley was not seen. So Riley got to this cross right here and disappeared. He didn't go north, according to this. According to what this police officer just said, he didn't keep traveling north. Really suspicious. That's super suspicious.
I doubled back, and the other camera that we last saw him on didn't catch him. Both, actually all detectives that we have out on this, as well as the security people that watch the parking garage and the families themselves. I mean, we've had three different groups literally go through that parking garage for the past 2 days, just in case they've missed an open door, the safety netting in case somebody somehow went over the side. They've checked everything that they can over there, and security was checking again for us today, just because there's always that possibility the camera didn't catch him going back across, and maybe he went back up to James Robertson through that park. Through that parking garage, as well as the stairs on the outside of the parking garage.
Is there any sort of exchange with people? Like,
that not that we've seen on video. I know some people that have called in have thought there was, but we haven't seen any evidence of that. I was told today that there was a homeless gentleman that may have actually seen him, like close proximity, like from me to you. So we're actually trying to find that individual right now to see if he can provide us more information, but we haven't been able to find him so far. Yes, ma'am.
Reiterated, especially today, how communicative y'all have been, and they're very pleased from that standpoint. Is it hard when you have a lot of family members in the area trying to help you? How do you work in tandem with family members in the search?
It's just like when we have a homicide, we try to have one point of contact, whether it's one parent, two parents, an aunt, whoever is kind of the spokesperson.
The police should look into the disappearance and death of Dakota James, because it's very similar. This kind of walking pattern is almost kind of the way that Dakota James walked out of downtown Pittsburgh. He kind of walked, I think maybe south, but then he was last seen at this bridge. Like he was pinged and then went to a bridge. Like maybe a bridge is like a kind of like a, you know, point where all the cars and things and people, somebody would sit there, like, because they know people are going to walk to that area. It's very odd. It's very similar to Dakota James. But a lot of these cases are similar, right? Chris Jenkins, Zach Marr, Dakota James at a bar, acting strange, targeted. Really something else.
For the family, just because the nature of the investigation can be so cumbersome that it's hard for us to answer multiple questions. Like, if there's 15 of you out here right now, realistically, we may not have the time to talk to actual 15 individual people, right? That's why we have public information officers, or like here, we're doing a quick briefing on it. So usually what we'll do, and as I've spoken to mom and dad today, was everything will go through them. So they have multiple ways to contact me. Any questions they have, even from other family, I've asked them to direct it to mom and dad, let mom and dad contact us, because otherwise it gets to be the telephone game, and then misinformation gets out there. And in this case, it's a missing person, but if it was a homicide, then we risk the chance of affecting the integrity of that case. And obviously we don't want to put everything out in a homicide. In this case, we're putting everything out because it's a missing person. But it still helps to have just one point of contact, just because everybody wants to know, but they also have to understand that for us to do our job effectively, we're utilizing literally everybody that we have that we can at the moment. And so if I have...
There's a lot of background noise. Sorry. That's from the video. So I think I'll just stop it there. If anybody has any questions, please ask them. But I would say if I was in law enforcement or somebody around there, I would be looking at the river, downriver, over this weekend, early morning, like 3 a.m., 4 a.m., just like Dakota James, right? And that never, the state of Dakota James is missing for 40 days. The state of his body never made it to the public. And the fact is that he was probably kept alive up to the time he was put in the water. His body was in good shape. It would have floated like 10 miles downriver if he was in the river for 40 days. So maybe the police, it'll be I'm not optimistic at this point about what happens to Riley Strain, but it'll be interesting if they do end up finding his body in the river, and what they do if in that event it is found in the river or near the river. But I would say that, yeah, if I was the police, I would be checking the riverbed. I would be just like the Atlanta child murders. I would be thinking on those terms of how they finally caught them. So anyway, that's the Riley Strain, still missing, 1 week, and be on the lookout. People, stay primed, and maybe, you know, sometimes these crimes, they're solved by citizens. They're like, I think of Stephen Port, who actually the family went and got the CCTV and looked at it themselves. I think of even this Fang Shi Wong, Scarlett Blake case in Oxford, where somebody he knew who's in Austin, Texas, of all places, informed police that he did it. So hopefully something like something like that will happen. Anyway, thank you for listening. I had like 730 people watching this. I'm pretty surprised. I didn't know that so many people are interested in this case. So hopefully, my hope is that it comes to a positive end. But unfortunately, I've seen and followed so many of these cases. It doesn't look great. Anyway, thank you for listening. And again, I'll put links in the show notes and put it in the YouTube so people can maybe see some of my work and see the similarities, right? This is a phenomenon that there's so many of the same things happen over and over again. It's unfortunate. And there really should be a federal kind of task force or something that overlooks and see these cases and looks into these cases and follows these cases. But anyway, thank you for listening.